Thank you very much again, Mr. Chairman. Jeb Bradley, Senate District Number 3. Before I begin, let me compliment you and thank you, as well as all other members of the committee, for your graciousness this morning and this afternoon, and apologize for my oversight in not having thought to combine both bills. You live and you learn. So, obviously, I'm here in support of Senate Bill 473. I would ask that the testimony I gave in support of 476 be also entered into the record on this public hearing, because reasonable compensation, quite frankly, is the foundation for tax policy that I believe needs to be repealed in Senate Bill 473. So I'd prefer not to have to repeat myself on reasonable compensation. And if that could be entered into the record, I'd be grateful for that. Thank you. What does Senate Bill 473 seek to do? It restores the interest and dividends tax to the stream of revenue that the IND tax applied to before passage of House Bill 2 in June. So effectively, it has the purpose of removing the so-called LLC tax, which in fact did extend the interest and dividends tax to a brand new revenue stream, a brand new stream of $300 million. That $300 million represents the salary payments that owners of LLCs and partnerships pay to themselves for rendering services running their business. What was the impact of House Bill 2 and the LLC provision? For the first time ever, an estimated $300 million revenue stream of business owner salary is now going to be taxed if it's above the level determined by the Department of Revenue of reasonable compensation. So let me go right back to the examples I gave before in the prior hearing on reasonable compensation. And I talked about the $50,000 reasonable compensation determination, again, because it's Chairwoman Almy's bill, out of a $100,000 salary that a business owner paid him or herself. In the prior instance, the business profits tax was assessed to the second $50,000 for a tax of $4,250. But under House Bill 2, the so-called LLC tax, the double whammy comes in. And now there will be a 5% tax on the balance of that $50,000 less the $4,250 business profits tax exemption. So the total tax now that's required by law above reasonable compensation in that example will be $6,537. But it's also important that we take it to what the current law is, the current law safe harbor, which is $6,000. So doing the math again, $94,000 potentially in this example is subject to two taxes, $50,000 at 8.5%. $94,000 subject at 8.5%. That's $8,000. And the balance, less the $8,000, subject to the 5% interest and dividends tax. So the total tax that the business owner is going to pay is $12,290. Colleagues, this, in a nutshell, is what we're subjecting business owners that are organized as LLCs or partnerships to. First, our government has previously defined salary as profit to tax it. But under House Bill 2, we're giving them the double whammy of redefining that same money that was already profit as a dividend so it can be taxed all over again. That means that we have an effective tax rate of 13.5% on a very significant portion of a business owner's salary. And remember what I testified to before about the real world. The business owner writing the check because it's too expensive to hire high-priced lawyers and accountants to fight the Department of Revenue Administration. We don't know if that'll happen here, but this is a tremendous burden that we are placing on business owners. The very people that we are all looking for to jumpstart our economy. Now, it's important that we look at some of the semantics around this bill. Some have called this tax closing a loophole. Others have called it a passive investor tax. Still others have said it will only affect a very few. In fact, someone recently, who's a leading voice in New Hampshire politics, said it was not a new tax. So let's look at the reality. The interest and dividends tax has been part of the New Hampshire landscape since 1923. It is a tax that I think we would all agree historically has been paid by passive investors. Shareholder dividends, bank interest, those types of things. It's never been levied on business owners who actively participate in the running of their own business. Let's look at this some more. Let's compare how business organizations are taxed in New Hampshire. The corporate structure. Under the way that we do our business profits tax, the corporation is presumed, if they've had a decent year, to retain profits. It would pay the business profits tax, no argument about that. But the CEO, the top executives, no one employed by that corporation would pay an income tax. And in the example I'm giving you, the BET is presumed not to be applicable because of the credit against the BPT. If the corporation pays dividends, and here's where the argument of loophole comes in, the corporation pays that to the passive investor. The passive investor is a separate and distinct entity paying a separate and distinct tax. There is no loophole. The LLC or the partnership, on the other hand, is presumed not to pay the business profits tax in the way that we generally do things in New Hampshire, because quite frankly, they zero out. That was the basis for why, and I think there's only two of us here who remember this, the debate about the business enterprise tax. Again, Yogi Berra has us right, Senator. The business enterprise tax is a payroll tax. Not paid for by the employee, it's paid for by the owner of the company. It was first implemented at 0.25% in 1993 when Steve Merrill was governor. But under the first education funding compromise, it was raised to 0.75%. That's the bottom line tax that a business owner pays on every dime of salary he or she pays for every employee, including the business owner. It's right off the bottom line. So what we have here, because quite frankly, we have no general income tax, our tax structure has evolved differently in terms of how we tax businesses. It's not a loophole. We tax some businesses under the business profits tax. We tax other businesses under the business enterprise tax. And if we want to equitably reform that, and some people do, I'm not one of them, some do. Quite frankly, the only way to do that is a general income tax, if that's your goal. So now what we have, after House Bill 2 was passed, the climate that business owners confront in New Hampshire is this shotgun marriage of reasonable compensation and the LLC tax. Remember, defining salary first as profit to tax it at 8.5%, then redefining that same revenue stream as dividend to tax it a further 5%, it gets taxed twice. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. It's an income tax, a narrow but hefty income tax on the salary that a business owner pays himself after meeting payroll every week and keeping their doors open in a very tough economy. Now, I know that there's a partisan debate going on around this bill, and we can talk about the semantics of it. Some people call it one thing, other people call it another, a loophole closure, a business owner income tax. But if we get stuck on what we're calling it, we're missing the point here. And here's the point, that in all the testimony that's come out so far today, we have missed the two critical points for what our state faces. First of all, no other state and the federal government tax small businesses in the way that House Bill 2 does right now. No other state and the federal government do not tax this revenue stream the way the so-called LLC tax does. Why is that? Well, you know what? It's pretty simple, actually. People recognize, whether they're from blue states or whether they're from red states, that small businesses are the engine that drive our economy. They're the job creators of our economy. And by taxing that revenue stream, the salary that a small business owner pays him or herself is a sore thumb for New Hampshire. We will stick out like no other state in the country and will be a severe impediment to growing jobs. That's why no other state does it. That's why the feds don't do it. And we will be risking job growth, investment opportunity, risk-taking, and our business climate. And here's the second point. We have a commissioner at the Department of Resources and Economic Development, George Bald, who does an excellent job of representing the state of New Hampshire and helping to attract businesses to our state. Imagine, and I used to be a business owner, imagine business owner, pick a name, we'll pick Jeb, for instance, calling up George and saying, can you tell me, Commissioner, what kind of tax climate I'm going to face in New Hampshire? His answer right now has got to be, well, it depends. It may be as low as the business enterprise tax at 0.75% of payroll across the board on all employees. You could be subject to the business profits tax, but if you're a business owner, you could also be subject to the business profits tax above reasonable compensation and the IND tax above reasonable compensation. I can tell you, if I were the person on the other end of the phone getting that kind of information, alarm bells would go off. The alarm bells are uncertainty. What is going to happen if I locate my good idea? I wish I had been Google or Microsoft or anybody else. What is going to happen to the good ideas that we ought to be asking to come to New Hampshire? And just for further concern, I went to the Tax Foundation's website to look at income tax rates in other states around the country. If you assume the safe harbor is $6,000, which, because it's current law, and because we've heard testimony that we'll lose $14 million if we raise it to 50K, I think we better assume that it is $6,000. That 13.5% business owner income tax that everybody is so hot under the collar about is the law of New Hampshire right now. Here's how we compare. Hawaii, 11%. Oregon, 11%. New Jersey, 10.75%. California, 10.55%. And those are on those states' top income levels. We could be down as low as $6,000. And if our focus, as I believe it is, because I believe that Governor Lynch is sincere, and I believe all of us Whichever party that we're in are sincere. Our focus should be about jobs. Our focus should be about the 51,625 people who need to get back to work. Then we should not put ourselves at the tippity top of the income tax pyramid. Look at their economies, look at their budgets. Tax policy matters. And when business consultants stand up in public hearings or on the op-ed pages of our largest newspapers and say that they're recommending our neighbor to the south, Massachusetts, as having a better tax climate than New Hampshire, we better look in the mirror, admit that we have a problem, and wake up and smell the coffee. Now, I'm not going to sit here today and tell you that repealing this bill is fiscally easy. It isn't. We all know that. In light of the JUA, it's tougher. No doubt about that. So this bill does have similar language to the budget that was passed in June, the same language that was put in by the majority authorizing the governor to make the necessary reductions. I think each and every one of us in this room also ought to remember that the $30 million is not likely to be collected in full, at least. The retroactive nature of this tax, that testifier after testifier made clear to the department at the four public hearings on their rules, the retroactive nature of the tax is already inviting a lawsuit that is just waiting to be filed. The state doesn't have a very good track record right now in winning controversial lawsuits that they think they're going to win. Sole proprietors were left out of this tax. I can see LLCs divesting themselves of the LLC status, becoming sole proprietors. I can see these high-priced lawyers and accountants advising some of the bigger LLCs and partnerships other ways to get around this. Assuredly, they will find those ways. I can see businesses going out of business because this is the last straw that has broken the camel's back. And I certainly can see the lost opportunities of attracting businesses to our states. Can we measure how that's going to impact the $30 million? Probably not today, but I would submit to you that that $30 million is more mirage than it is reality. That's why I believe we have to pass this bill. We have to improve the business climate. We've got to get 51,625 people back to work. And when we do that, we will cut costs. Unemployment insurance is just the beginning. And the taxes that we have historically depended on to fund our state revenue stream, the BPT and the BET, will improve. Thank you very much.